It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, it's 9/11. You know, we just did 4 hours of show. We did 3 hours, an hour bonus, and yakety, yakety, yakety. We had some interesting guests. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you know, what we had talked about, get you up to speed on 9/11. But I tell you, you know, it's going to be a little bit different show. Because I know that a lot of people are going to be telling you about a lot of things that maybe you already know. 9/11, what was the truth about 9/11, who did 9/11? And I'm more concerned about the ramifications and what we saw coming because of 9/11. And as an experienced activist, I'll introduce you a little bit to myself. But for those of you that know me, I know you've already heard a lot of this stuff before. But you know, for the new people, we'll go ahead and introduce you to what we do here at Freedom's Phoenix and such. And the reason is because we are experienced activists. My wife and I, we started back in 1988. I'm 53 years old. I was born in 1961. I graduate high school in 1979. And then, you know, start having a family, you know, in the mid-80s. Our children are young. You know, we went through the savings and loan crisis. This, you know, the Keating Five out of, you know, Arizona, a lot of that here. You know, the savings and loan thing really kind of was centered around Arizona real estate and such and swept the nation. It was kind of a dry run, you know, for them to do the TARP. You know, they go, ooh, we got away with some of the guys. Well, they went to jail. We got to make sure that nobody, when we really rip off America, goes to jail. And how we make their money our money. So we go through that. We had a lot of other, you know, whatever flag events, false flag, real flag, whatever, doesn't matter. It's all the social engineering, economic engineering, fear engineering, made you do it engineering, national patriotism of we got you collectivized and it's ours now. You know, this has happened throughout my entire life. That's why they call it revolution. It just keeps coming around and around. And there are reasons. And there are methods, and there are techniques, and there are beneficiaries. What I want to do today is share with you on 9/11, and well, of course, we'll talk about the World Trade Center and what happened there, but more as a cultural impact, as a cultural effect, as a political thing, and what the future is. I want to make sure that we do this, because if we don't, then you kind of miss the lessons that were learned. You know, and I just, you know, want to make sure we got the signal. We're going to do 2 hours. We'll go to, you know, noon our time here. Or is it? Yeah, I think so. Are we up? Is it good? Everything's good? All right. So we're going to go ahead and we'll put it out there. I'll go ahead and save this to our archive. You go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see our news site there. It's a web portal for, you know, political opinion and commentary and news and headline. But we really cover a lot of stuff, especially science and technology. Because I see, you know, the ability of individuals to be able to express themselves, to make their own things, their own, provide for their sustenance, provide for their entertainment, provide for themselves, is how you extract yourself from dependency on the grid, the man, they, them, those. When you're doing radio and you're talking, certainly, you know, a conspiracy of this or that or even fact, you know, Then you go, well, they, always getting, you know, I've been doing radio since February of 03. You know, I've always had my own businesses. We had a restaurant for years. Our kids, you know, grew up in their formative years. They're from 24, 25 to 29. My oldest daughter just had her birth. She's almost 30. I get it. And she goes, before I even said anything, she goes to me, she goes, yeah, what's it like to have a kid that's almost 30? Ouch. Ouch. I go, yeah, well, at least I get to say you're almost 30. So this is during their formative years, as they're going up in high school and everything, we really were a hardworking, head down, plow family restaurant. But we maintained a little bit of activism. We would help fund efforts and provide contact and resources, or do a little activism on our own all through those years, you know, 5-6 years as we were doing all that stuff. And the reason was, is because we knew we needed to stay engaged, because I was of the opinion of what was coming. You know, it's 9/11 happened, the World Trade Center, didn't matter. There's going to be something big, the economy, big. You know, the future of my children, my grandchildren, we're always, when my wife and I got married in the mid-80s, and the year was, she's over there, I know this, it's 84, right? That we married? Yep, 84, I think. So what we're going to do is kind of walk you through our experience as young activists, because we were the levolutionaries of the day, the young people, the idealist, looking for the truth, searching without the internet. You had to go to the library. You had to read a couple of books. You had to talk to people. You had to get the truth. You had to, you know, find reports in different groups or gatherings or collections or meetings and so on. And you sift through all the crap. And then, in early 90s, like, was it 91, I think, I met my first libertarian. That was a Republican, a good Catholic guy, kind of man, just died. They, you know, read my lips, no new taxes, Daddy Bush. And then he lied. Hey, the president, he lied. Whoa. So he went libertarian. There was a guy who lived down the street, you know, became good friends with, and we all became friends with, a guy named Tim. He was just going around just, you know, pimping libertarianism. He's going, hey, you know, here's the Libertarian Party, some libertarian stuff. He goes and looked up some stuff, you know, kind of did some reading. Goes, you know what, like, I'm libertarian now. And he was very active. And he was precinct committeeman in the Republican Party, and a young guy, idealistic, you know, and pro-life. But he found he could use libertarian philosophy to argue for the, you know, the rights of an individual in the womb kind of thing. So he's like, okay, we can do that. There's a lot more, you know, pro-life libertarians than people realize. You know, as the time went on, I find that out. Doris Gordon, she just passed away. She was a big pro-choice person until there was a gentleman, and Dr. Paul had a big impact on her too. Now she died in, she's 80 something years old, I think, just recently. It was called L4L.org or .com. It's Liberty for Life. Or Libertarians for Life. Just look it up, L4L, and they'll come up. So these fundamental philosophical discussions have been going on for a long time. And when I started doing radio in 03, I wanted to bring those up. I was doing a morning show out of Scottsdale here, and a libertarian and a drive time radio in a major media market in 03, before we actually went to war in Iraq, right after 9/11. How the hell did that happen? Well, I'll tell you, we sold our restaurant. You know, and the war drums were beating. It's after 9/11. We're going to go into Iraq. Well, there were people that were saying, Ernie, you know, I'd run for Congress and, you know, in U.S. Senate and state legislature, Secretary of State. We're, you know, during our activism and everything, we're running. They're like, you're still voting? I mean, seriously. And this has been an eye-opener for a lot of people. They knew I was sincere about this. I, you know, I had the ability. I'd like, you know, I could talk. You know, I have plenty of stories for 2 hours. You will find out. So what happened is they said, we will go ahead and sponsor you. I mean, whatever it is, you'll see if you can get a morning. And it just happened that some guy had passed away or left or something, the morning show. And they said, hey, well, we got an opening slot and it only cost you this much and sponsor kind of done. And I go, okay. And we started putting signs up everywhere. We did everything outside of the station. But we thought it was only going to be 13 weeks. Well, they extended the contract. They wanted to do it more. Oh, then they, you know, charge less. And then they didn't charge. And then another station was like, hey, you know, we won't charge and give you more goodies here and promote. Oh, and then we'll start paying you. And then it built up to where you start having an impact. And here comes the man. They're like, oh, no. We want you, got to sign here and contract that and can't, you know, do this. And I became producer for Charles Goyette, author of New York Times bestselling The Dollar Meltdown. He was number one in his slot on Clear Channel here in Phoenix, Arizona, KFYI, Clear Channel Station. He's in between like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity or something in the afternoon. So they were going, they saying, oh, we got to explain it to you. You need to support the troops, which meant support George Bush. Support the troops. You're not getting with the program. You got to say. And he goes, no, I'm not doing it. And he had Colonel Hackworth. You know, he was a had a military web page that, you know, like Karen Kwiatkowski, which is a now a retired lieutenant colonel in the Pentagon that worked near the Office of Special Plans, where, you know, Cheney and Rumsfeld are planning all kinds of stuff after 9/11, how we're going to go into Iraq. You know, so that was of interest. Now, where does she publish this stuff? She published it on his website, all this information about what was being done and doing. They, through their hubris, they thought it was a guy because she used a pseudonym or whatever. Well, Charles Goyette would have Colonel Hackworth on his show and called him his Secretary of Defense. As he was arguing against war, they made it clear to him, you don't get with the program, your contract will not be renewed, and he had to make a decision. And he wrote an article that was published in the American Conservative, which is Pat Buchanan's magazine, that said, how do you lose your job in talk radio? Months before he did, because they took him off the afternoon and put him like, you know, 9 to midnight or something like that, because he had to fulfill his contract. He had a good contract. And in fact, when Adam Kokesh went to Russia Today, I had him talk to Charles and make sure he went over the contract, because I just knew that he dealt with, you know, big networks. And I go, you need to have Charles take a look and help you with that. And the big thing is editorial content. You got to make sure that you get to do what you want to do. Now, of course, they'll do whatever they want. But, you know, the reason I did that was because I remember how they were so mad they couldn't get out of their his contract, you know, without paying him a big chunk. So they just put him at late at night. During this time, it was all about beating the drum for war. I started in February of 2003. We had just sold the restaurant. I had like a three-month transition period to help the new owners and so on. And then we kind of set this up. And within a couple of weeks after I was done with the restaurant, boom, I'm on the air. There was such pressure from everywhere. Now, of course, being a libertarian, it's nothing that we didn't know already going in. We didn't care. We're like, yeah, bring it on, you know. But for Charles, it was different. It was a livelihood. Well, he made this decision. Later on, I had, you know, I went to another station, said, come on over here, man. You just stay on the air, because I guarantee this is all going to go our way. And eventually it did. Then the Air America affiliate network around the country, which was progressive as heck, the Democrat kind of Air America, they had an affiliate. They opened up here in Phoenix, and they asked our show. I became his producer in early 2004, and they asked him to come do the show over there. And I'm like, what? And he said, do you think we should do it? Because libertarians are always seen to be kind of, you know, hip locked to Republicans. And we had made sure that we, over the years, our activism, that we had infiltrated there pretty good. And certainly the Ron Paul evolution definitely demonstrated that. But I'm going, heck yeah, a new field to plow. So we go over to the Air America affiliate, most popular local show in their whole freaking network. You know, we'd, you know, do all kinds of guest shows with other program. They like, ah, we don't like those guys. We don't want them on here anymore. Everybody likes them too much. You know, the competition. We had a great show. 3 hours every day, morning drive, whipping ass. But the liberals were like, hey, wait. After we first started, they're going, whoa, we thought you were libertarians. You don't like Social Security. You don't like Medicaid. You don't like Medicaid. You don't like all these entitlements. You're like, whoa, we didn't know you had contract. Editorial content, contract. After a few months, we do remotes, and it was just standing room only. Thousands of people would show up, and it was a combined, we could see it happening. The people were moving towards freedom. And it was great to see. And at the time, We also started developing Freedom's Phoenix at about the same time. And that was my thing. And I tell you what happened. I want to tell you this story so you understand how the Lovolution expanded. Because those of you that don't know, the Ron Paul Lovolution, that logo, I'm the one that created that. Now, of course, I ripped it off the internet Beatles somewhere. I saw the reverse love somewhere, but it stuck in the back of my head. And in 06, I was running for Secretary of State here in Arizona, and I had two signs. One was black, big, you know, sign on the campaign sign like you see, and it had in white letters said in this kind of, you know, gothic font, it said, "Still voting?" with a question mark, and the V was the V for Vendetta. If you go on a Google, you know, image search or something, and you look for "still voting?" question mark, that'll come up. And you can see I was just in little bitty letters, you know, Ernest Hancock, Secretary of State, you know, endorsed by freedomsphoenix.com, you know, just to piss them off. And but my concept was not, I don't care, you know, voting, like I trust the voting system anyway. I mean, the whole point I'm going to go, you're still voting? You know, hey, when have we ever voted ourselves free? Are you sure? Now, I'd run in 94 as a Libertarian Secretary of State candidate also, and I was really hammering on election fraud. I'm going, look, man, they're forcing all of the community. Everybody's going to the county elections computers that are controlled by these. You're not allowed to even look at the code. You can't even manually. It's illegal for you to compare the paper ballot with what the computer says, even just to check it. It's illegal. Then in 2004, there was a contested election. They found competing fraud was going on. Finally, a state legislator, a guy named Jack Harper at Sun City up here, he goes, you know, I'm tired of this controversy. Why don't we just, you know what? I'm doing a Senate subpoena. I want all the ballots right here in the Senate caucus room. We're just going to hand count them right now and we'll see what's up. Within hours, the FBI that day, the FBI showed up, no claim of jurisdiction or anything. I don't know what the heck they showed up, took all the ballots, and you never heard about it again. Now, I was running for Secretary of State in 06 during this time, and I'm doing the still voting thing. I go, did I make my point? Do you get it now? They passed legislation, you know, and they're all this pressure that they're going to do a small percentage, like 2% manual validation to check and whatever, and it goes, and it's supposed to be under 24/7 web watching, you know, in the elections department of the vault of, you get the white, and they're gone. This is, they're gone. You're just going, where'd they go? They went to Sheriff Arpaio's Sheriff Training Department of, oh, we like need to put it over there because we need to put it over there. Libertarian Party files suit. We go there and say, look, man, this is exactly just passed law. It did, and you got it, and you liar, liar, pants on fire. So we go through this, and the judge says, it's too late, and we got it in the results, and never mind. I don't think I know. I say this a lot. My kids hate it when I say this. I go, look, I don't think I know. I know. I've been through this enough times and enough cycles and enough to know that voting is not the answer. Political activism, using the soapbox. You know, we're heavily involved in the Ron Paul Lovolution came out of here in Phoenix. I knew it was going to happen. You know, I had left to pursue Freedom's Phoenix because it was really taking up my time and it wasn't being fair to Charles's show. So I put in a month notice, said, look, I really got to do, you know, this Freedom's Phoenix thing. And we started beta testing on, getting it all finished, started really ramping up. And I remember going to him after I had left, and it was middle of January 2007. And it was a Friday morning, and I go up to the webpage, and I see my senior editor, Pal Gammel, you know, that infamous for a lot of things himself, and probably get into that later, but he had put up the announcement that I think it was the Washington Post or the Washington Times had put up a story that Ron Paul had filed an exploratory committee, you know, bank account, opened up the committee, whatever, in Texas for him running for president. And I'm going, oh, immediately I knew what was going to happen. Now, he had already spoken, I think, twice before then at an annual event we call the Freedom Summit. Just do freedomsummit.com and you'll kind of see the stuff up there. Since 2001, my partner on that, Mark Victor, Mark J. Victor, attorney for freedom.com, he's a criminal defense attorney here, writes a lot, you know, you see him on Lou Rockwell and so on. We're good friends. And he came and he said, you know, there's a lot of people I want to meet. And we go to these different festivals and we go see speeches. But you have like a dozen speakers. And there's only one, maybe two that you even care about listening to. Another just crap and go out there and America and vote and stuff. And I go, you know, that ew. And he said, you know, we could do our own summit. We could just bring, and really, you know, it's just like subsidized. We get to meet these people. You know, we have put on a really nice event. People come, and we need enough to kind of pay the bill, and we're good. We get to have dinner with them. We get to hang with them. We get to do the video. You know, it's all good. This last one, we had great speakers. You know, God, you know, Judge Buttrick, a federal judge that's a libertarian. Paul Rosenberg. Cody Wilson, 3D gun printing, dark wallet guy. Patrick Byrne from Overstock.com. I mean, you see my point? And it goes on and on and on. You know, Larkin Rose, Will Grigg. I mean, you see? Anthony Gregory. You know, Bill Buford. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm in front of my head. I mean, these are top names, man. Yeehaw! Well, every year was like that. Ron Paul, three times. Lou Rockwell, Walter Block. Justin Raimondo. Bumper Hornberger. Before they were famous. Before people understood. Before people. We were warning our friends. We were saying, look, we know what's coming. When Dr. Paul filed the exploratory committee, I knew to call his campaign chairman at the time, a guy we had known before, you know, in coordinating times for him to speak and stuff like that, Ken Snyder, that passed away later from, I don't remember what it was, complications from HIV or something, I don't remember. But he, nice guy, been with Ron Paul since the 88 campaign as a young college student. And I said, is this true that you're going to be running for? He goes, yeah, if we get enough support. I go, so it's true that you're going, okay, that's it. Talk to the hand. You'll never hear from me again. He goes, what? Well, we need, I go, I just wanted to make, confirm it's true. Cause I knew that if I did anything through the campaign or, you know, wanted to take marching orders, and one, I couldn't do it. I don't play well with others. I'm a libertarian. But, you know, I didn't want to have any kind of limitations on my First Amendment right. And I get to do whatever the hell I want. And I said, I already know where this goes. I went to talk to Charles down at the radio station, went down there. I said, hey, let me tell you what's going to, you watch this Levolution thing. I'm going to take the Levolution logo that we used in the 06 campaign that was just done in November, like 2, 3, 4 months before, and we're going to put Ron Paul on it, start making these mass-produced signs, send them to all the libertarian activists I know around the country, send me some video, raw video, and we start putting up our first YouTubes. The very first YouTube that I had done was of Ron, of Charles Goyette going on Fox News. He was doing something, and he slipped in there, and the only person that understands the economic calamity of I is Congressman Ron Paul that's running for president, the Exploratory Committee, kind of first mention of Ron Paul, national television. You go look it up. Ron Paul, Charles Goyette, 2007. It's the first video that I ever put up. He got the DVD of it and encoded onto whatever. I had to get a codec of the AVS to transfer, learn kind of first YouTube, whatever. Boom, there it is. It launched. We started doing the signs. We started doing Ron Paul Revolution.com and .org. .com was how. No philosophy, no nothing. This is how to make signs. This is how to express yourself. This is how to have the impact. This is how. .org was like, all right, this is where we're going to be. No philosophy. We leave that up to Daily Paul. Michael Nystrom and I are good friends. Michael was done. Man, he's down, head down, plow, going to do it. Man, just go kick some butt and get the philosophy out. But now he's like, it's not going to be the Daily Rand. Now, I'm done with this political thing. It's more a culture thing. He and I are on board with this. So what does he do? He calls it the Daily Paul. P-A-U-L. Peace. A-U, gold. L, love. Peace, gold, love. So there is a cultural shift going, and we could see it coming. So what we did is we had all these signs passed around, activists I knew around the libertarian activists around the country. They send video. We start putting it up. And it exploded. Because it's a love illusion. People wanted to express themselves, but they needed to have around what? Just leave me aloneism. So when you're in radio and they say, well, they this and they that, and certainly in 9/11 conspiracies, you got, well, they, who the hell are they? And they always do it, Ernie, who are they? I'll tell you who they are. You want to know who they are? I'll tell you exactly who they are. Get ready, here it comes. Let me tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's it. They, them, those. That's who they are. They won't leave you alone. I don't need any more than that. It's, I mean, that, you know, skip to the end. The ones that won't leave me alone. So how do you express yourself against those, you know, that won't leave you alone? I don't know. I just want to be left alone. Dr. Paul did a great job, and I knew that he would. But I didn't want to be bogged down by Republican stuff. And so in March, I mean, it was my birthday, March 29th. March 29th, 2007, the first state that he went to, we said, you come to Arizona, we'll show you a good time. I remember he's landing at Sky Harbor National Airport, March 29th, a Thursday. He comes in. I get a call from Lou Moore, which I had met before, at a 9/11 conference in February when he was traveling around, kind of getting a feel if there was support for this presidential campaign. They were thinking, are they going to be able to raise $3-5 million? You know, then we can hit the road. Then we can go and we can at least get airline tickets and make it to all of the, you know, events and show up. Anybody kind of, you know, $3-5 million would be good. And I'm like, silly politicians, you have no idea what's coming. There was a 9/11 conference, a big, you know, it was like a 2-3 day thing here in Phoenix. Big shindig, and they asked me to speak at it. Well, it was the only time that Lou Moore could come. He became his campaign manager during the 08 campaign. And I liked Lou. I mean, he was, you know, political, whatever, but, you know, I liked him. We got along fine. But I made it clear. I go, look, we're not, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to be part of it. I mean, first thing is like, you want me to register Republican? That ain't happening. Okay. Now, you know, vote. I mean, I advocate voting. I, you know, Ron Paul Revolution doesn't say vote Ron Paul. You see the blimp. It says, you know, Google Ron Paul. Ron Paul Revolution doesn't say anything about voting. You know, I got a whole bunch of material that says Ron Paul, you know, Revolution, but it doesn't say anything about voting. You know, no. But I knew people would go through that process. I knew they'd join the party. I knew they'd get inside, do the precinct command, kind of, and we're going to fix it, you know, from the inside, and are you still voting? So, but you got to learn it. I did. You know, they're going, yeah, well, it's, you know, I go, yeah, but maybe we can do it a little different. Yeah, we got technology, maybe, and maybe, and maybe. No. You know, the system is rigged. You know, just listen to George Carlin. You know, American dream. Nightmare. George Carlin. So what we did is Lou came to this 9/11 conference that was going on, and I was asked to speak, and you got hundreds of people, and it was, you know, big woohoo. But I didn't talk about 9/11. Keep in mind, this is February of 07. By then, it's really, you know, a lot, you know, Loose Change, the movie, is out by then, I think. We had hundreds of copies that they would send us. We had them on the show. We were giving them to legislators that would ask for hundreds more that would start passing them out. You know, Karen Johnson, a Republican senator on the Senate floor, you know, passing out manila envelopes to every senator. This is a lie, and yada, 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 which inspired Jesse Ventura to come to Arizona, along with Charles Goyette, to do a big presentation in the East Valley. Here, Jesse Ventura, 9/11. We're in there videotaping. You look it up, Jesse Ventura, Arizona, Ernest Hancock, whatever, probably come up. We did videotape of him in the Republican Senate caucus room at the Arizona State Legislature, where he was talking about a lot of the stuff that he knew inside and kind of maybe things that you haven't heard before. And one of them was, he goes, as governor, when I first became governor, I was summoned to the Capitol basement. I got a schedule, you know, a meeting on my schedule, the basement, and what the heck is it? Where is this anyway? It goes down there, CIA. They want to talk to him. Mr. Navy, military, salute, click your heels. Your government here wants to ask you a question. So sitting around. And he said, one thing that kind of, you know, slapped some people around, doesn't surprise some, is that the CIA and the intelligence community at director level has representatives in all the state capitals. Doesn't shock me. I can give you 15 gazillion stories of that. And they call it, you know, and I know where they're definitely at. It's legislative council. When they do bills, or they go, they want to send it to council, oh, I want this bill to do this, and make and write it up. So they'll write it up and hopefully kind of, but they keep changing words. And even no matter what you vote on, they'll shift it and change it and kind of subtract words and give it a meaning, kind of whatever. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. So I know where they're at, you know, I mean, or at least where they have some influence. So Governor Jesse Ventura, you know, what was it, Minnesota? And he goes, yeah, they wanted to know how in the hell I won. Didn't see that one coming. It was like the Berlin Wall falling. How did that happen? It's a culture thing. It's a people thing. It's a, you know, black swan thing. You get it, they overcame the election fraud thing. It was too much, too many, too, you know, we can't have that happen anymore. We got to get a tighter rein on that. We thought Minnesota was not, we didn't have to worry about this one little town in the middle west, Midwest of the kind of, yeah, woo, what happened? We gave birth to, you know, here comes Jesse. So here you have a state senator that, you know, 9/11, she's talking about this on the Senate floor. Well, how was this received by the people there? You know, it's all this pressure. Who controls these people? Who does what? Where's this coming from? Who's the marching orders from? It's Karl Rove thing. I mean, if you want to sum it up, Karl Rove, the architect, the brain. You know, if that's the brain and Pinky and the brain. You know, tomorrow the world. I mean, if that's the best they got, you know, in the end, you know, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first, and it's their mess that we got to go through. So this has been kind of my experience. I mean, just some of the highlights, you know, it relates into 9/11 and what happens in 07 when Dr. Paul decides to run. It was almost a non-effort for Karen Johnson, a sitting state senator, to immediately, without question, Mormon, you know, just boom. Yes, I wish to be co-chair for Ron Paul's presidential campaign in 08. Dr. Paul comes down. He meets with a bunch of legislators and so on, but they knew what they were up against, the machine. But at least they gave him a meeting. Here in Arizona, we started making the signs. They go up by the hundreds. We were doing 300 signs on a Friday. And that was just one place. And then there are others, people all over the place that were doing it. We got the idea from Utah, some activists up there. He said, you know, these old billboards, that vinyl that they have, hell, they're paying you to haul them off. I mean, they got to pay extra fees to put them in the dump because they don't degrade. And kind of, man, they don't give them away anymore. They're going, son, don't give them the Levolution because they use them. So we got that idea. I mean, that spread like wildfire. So we started making all these signs out of that that just stayed, and we put them up on the weekends, and they'd be down. At first, they'd be up for weeks, and then somebody got the message that their job depended on, they no, hell no, and get those down. Well, along with that was 9/11 activism. It was the 9 was a question mark, and the 1 were exclamation points. Question mark, exclamation point, exclamation. It looked like 9-1-1. Perfect icon. So we would make a bunch of those signs that also went up with Ron Paul Levolution. So they weren't really tied together, but it certainly was the same kind of, what? Now, Dr. Paul, he would never do conspiracy kind of, you know, you don't know it, but say it's exactly what it was. Why'd they do it? You know, because we're over there. I could feel the cultural shift. I witnessed it. I'm 53. As an older activist, being the young revolutionaries of the 80s and 90s, I could see it coming. It's what we were looking for. It's what we wanted. It was an opportunity. I knew, here it is. A lot of us did. A lot of the activists around the country we knew. And we knew all we had to do was spark it. When we got the outlet, it was a retail space on North Central, downtown Phoenix. But they were building light rail like they're doing everywhere. You know, some, you know, boondoggle. It kind of closed. I mean, nobody could get into there. So there was, I don't know what kind of takings. Hopefully you got some kind of compensation. But, you know, for $500 a month, you know, we got this 3,000 square feet to do that. I said, I just need it for a month. I just need a place to do this. People can go. Nope, got to do it 2 months. All right, 2 months. $2,500 is what we started. That was all material, supplies, turning on the electricity. We didn't even have a phone. Yeah, that's what cell phones are for. So this is by March, early March of 07, we had this open, started mass producing those signs. And we knew that once we just demonstrated how to do it, we had how-to videos, we just showed people that they could express themselves, and it exploded, along with 9/11. At the time, also, we had Aaron Russo from Freedom to Fascism. Now, I knew Aaron fairly well. He tried to get the nomination for president of the Libertarian Party in 04, but he made some mistakes. He thought he'd use environmentalism and get support of Hollywood, kind of didn't flush well with libertarians, and we told him, you know, you can't, you know, don't act like you got this one yet. Libertarians, they do what they want, you know. But because he didn't get that, he wanted to still express himself. In fact, in the mid-90s, he did a kind of a variety show, a stage thing, a big crowd, an audience, where he did Mad as Hell. It was a series that he did, and he did a lot of interviews. You see a really good one that he did with Alex Jones right before his death. And I remember calling him like 2 weeks before he died from Iowa. And we went to this small little town with a, the Transcendental Meditation College of the Natural Law Party that was Hagelin has a complex there that they teach people to meditate and kind of have an influence on the world that way. And he ran for president on all 50 state ballots in 1992, along with Perot and everything. He had this, you know, there's a lot of history a lot of people don't know about. While we were there, people were chanting. Now, these are Transcendental Meditation people in the middle of a freaking ocean of corn in Iowa that's going, in the Fed, in the Fed, in the Fed. I'm going, wow. I called Aaron, and I go, you know, you won. I just want you to know, you go out, you won. When you can change the culture that you got Transcendental Meditation people, and Ron Paul is there to talk about medical marijuana or being able to, you know, heal yourself, or, you know, not having to go to the government and the FDA against that. That was what the issue main was. And they're chanting in the Fed. I go, you win. He was very appreciative of that. I'm glad he got to know that he had that impact. We've made over 150,000 copies of that DVD that we passed out, along with a bunch of Ron Paul stuff that we put onto the same discs. Done a lot with the 9/11 stuff, too. We have different compilations that have 5-6 movies on it. You know, it compresses it. I mean, the quality isn't, you know, it's good enough. I mean, it's a hell of a lot better VHS. So, you know, it's like, man, you can get 5-6 movies you can compress on this, and it looks like that. Hell yeah. Then we do it. I know a lot of these guys do, hey, you're copyrighted. Yeah, sue me. You know, how libertarian. I'm not a big IP guy, certainly when it comes to this kind of information. Right now, right behind my shoulder, I have 3 11-stack DVD duplicators. The audience, right now. You go to freedomsphoenix.com. Freedomsphoenix.com. You scroll all the way down to the bottom of any page, and it has my home address. Write me. You send me a little donation of anything just to help pay for, you know, the DVDs, just bulk cost, and, you know, and to mail it to you, you know, we'll do labor for free. I mean, you know, what is that? You know, it's, I don't know, I think we got them there, like, without sleeves, it's like 20 cents, you know, that we got them for in bulk. We buy them by, I have, God, hundreds of thousands that we've done. People just donate them. I have right now 25,000 blank DVDs waiting on you. All you got to do is say, hey, you know, you got this movie, this movie, this movie, this movie. If we don't, send us a copy of it and we'll burn it. We'll add it. We'll put it on. We'll give you a compilation of whatever the heck. We got a bunch of them. So what do? I'll send you, I'll give you at least for nothing, I'll send you 30. Because we do them, you know, like 30 at a time, 33 at a time. You know, so I do 30. 30 of them you get. Boom. Nothing. Just cover cost and done. What do you do with them? I don't know. You give me some, you know, good feedback, and I get some confirmation you're making use of them, I'll send you some more. I remember Loose Change did that. Loose Change would send me hundreds at a time. Karen Johnson, she would get 400 at a time. She passed them out all legislators. Arizona. Why is it Arizona? Why does all this stuff come out of Arizona? Because we got the bad guys, you know, just bad here on the freaking, I mean, Janet Napolitano is our governor. Are you kidding me? It goes to be head of the Gestapo. You know, I mean, you know, would you think we don't know what we're up against? Barry Hess running for governor for the fourth time here as a libertarian, slapping him around debates. You know, it's easy. Why? You hit the nail that's sticking up the most. Here in Arizona, a lot of the activism that we do, it's a nail. You know, it's sticking up out of the board. Imagine you got a 2x4 with 50 nails in it. Which one is the government going to hit? The one that's sticking up the most. Bam! But we love when they do that. Just gives us credibility. We have some fun. You know, they do, you know, a gun control thing or something. Boom! 5,000, you know, of compilation of different JPFO information they need. Safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. SafeGunOwners.org. That's us. You go to Freedoms Phoenix, bottom, you see my address. Go, Ernie, why do you put your, oh my God, you put your home address on there? Yeah! So the good guys know where I live. What, you think the bad guys don't know where I live? I'm seriously. And here we do it. Like, we're just open. We have a lot of parties here and say, yeah, bring the bad guys. Yeah, you want to see everything? Yeah, come see the studio. Yeah, come see the video. Come see how we, see our aquaponics. See here how we're doing our fish, our chickens, you know, goats. We have building in a workshop of the, yeah, we grow, you know, little science projects. Carbon nanotubes to be able to plate it with nickel, make nickel iron batteries of the high density of kind of the solar. Here it comes because I can. You know, this is stuff that we do because we see the future. And that's what I wanted to talk about after this first hour, giving you some of the background of why we're doing it, what we think the solution is. It's always a solution. Look what they did. Look what they did. They lied. Look what they did. They're liars. You know, I go, freedom good, government bad. You know, that was, I got it as a young activist in the 90s. They're going, you know, I go, but what about this? And what about that? And what about the children? What about education? What about the water? What about, what about, what about, what about, what about safety? What about natural? What about? And you get the libertarian, freedom-oriented, you know, free market, leave me aloneist answer. And I'm going, finally, I get it. I go, oh, I get it. You know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? That's one thing. And freedom good, government bad. Then it went up to three bads. You know, freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. I started doing radio, and then it started, you know, there was some big giant atrocity of Patriot Act this, or, you know, rendition and detention and war and invasion and whatever, and it got to like seven bads, you know? It's like I got to start over. You know, I was going, freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell me, you know, I need to add another bad? I get it. Government's bad, okay? I mean, this collectivist mentality of, you know, we got enough votes that we rule people. We impose our will on people. We got a, you know, collectivist answer of, we got to, you know, that's not the answer. You're still voting? It's a cultural thing. Voting is a side effect. The demands of the people, it's a side effect of a culture. What did we have a year ago? Gonna go to Syria. Well, it was 50-50, you know, the people's response. No and hell no. So what'd they do? And, you know, maybe we're not going to Syria. Anybody really think we weren't going? You know, it was just, you know, it was just delay. They'll get when they, you know, what all they do is, you know, have film that they had for how, Lord knows how long, of, you know, lopping off journalists' heads and so on. And, we're going to war. Is that all it takes? So what do you have? You have a guy, an activist, he goes across the Mexican border and does a simulated beheading. And the media, you know, suck it up. Is it, seriously, is it that easy? I mean, as horrific as these things are, as barbaric as these things are, it doesn't even compare to the millions that we punish unnecessarily. The innocent that are deprived of their life through sanctions or just being blown apart at some wedding with a remote control drone from Nevada of a kid that went to have dinner with his family that evening as he blew apart a wedding with little baby parts on the walls. And you think this hypocrisy isn't noticed? Dr. Paul made a good point about how democratically elected government in Iran was toppled by our CIA and all this regime change thing started. And, you know, I'm like, you look over this and you go, how's that worked out? Is that to our favor, or is freedom being expanded in some way? It's like, yeah, you know, I played in the show earlier today. There was a opening scene from Iron Man where he goes, protecting America and her interests. I thought America's interest was, you know, the promise of the Declaration of Independence. This is the name of our radio show. Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. Why? Because the Declaration of Independence didn't say what kind of government you're going to have. It just told you how to recognize when it was bad. The purpose of government. Defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. Do another one. Or none. I vote none. You know, they go, you're an anarchist. I go, compared to what? This? That's my choice? This or none? I vote none. How hard is that? You'll make me vote? Okay, I vote none. Leave me alone-ism. I'm a leave me alone-ist. They go, what are you? I'm a leave me alone-ist. Well, what's that? I don't know. Leave me alone. There are those who just want to be left alone. Those won't leave me alone. They, them, those. See, you can, from experience, you can distill this down. The actions, we'll get into solutions as we hit the next hour, but in my lifetime, born in 61, I'm a couple years old, JFK assassination. That was the 9/11 of a lot of people, like Lou Rockwell. Oh, man, on LouRockwell.com, man, there's always a new revelation on JFK and what's going on and finding. They still have it. released all these documents they're supposed to already released. You know, so I'm just going, or is it, I don't know, how many years got to go by? Because the same people are in charge. Heck, they're still alive, a lot of these guys. You know, I got, you know, Henry Kissinger pushing, what is he, 90-something? He's out there, New World Order, yay, we win, you know? There's so much of the same, it's not even the same kind of people, it's the same people. I recognize these guys. They're just older, on life support people doing the, saying the same crap they were when I was in high school, you know, God, 30-something years ago. JFK. His brother, RFK, got the attorney general, you know, it's bad enough he's attorney general, sure as hell don't want him president, you know, and he's gone. All the controversy and conspiracy around that. Martin Luther King. And you have the Vietnam War. Every night I'm watching TV, you know, seeing Vietnam War, kind of, you know, same scenes over and over and over. It's like the CNN dropping smart bomb down the chimney in the first Gulf War. Kind of, yay, we're precision bombing and no children died. Right. In 2001, our first Freedom Summit that we did here in Phoenix, we had Bumper Hornberger was our keynote that year. And we had Bob Levy, that later on did the Heller case, you know, the Washington, D.C. gun case. And with the Cato and so on, he talked, you know, about some stuff. We had Don Brudeau. And I remember Don, he gave the speech. It was kind of a real famous speech that stuck in my head. And he said the Air Force, that now you have to, you know, under God, you know, so help me God, you know. And these are the people, you go, yeah, these angels of death. I mean, all they see, little puffs of smoke. He goes, in World War II, you had these bombers, they, you know, the trauma, you know, that you had the post-traumatic stress, you know, disorder or something, you don't get, you know, as a pilot, because what do you see? Little puffs of smoke. Now, if you're flying a drone from a portable, you know, air-conditioned in Nevada desert, you know, for your eight-hour shift of whatever, you know, you're flying a drone and you go boom, bang, okay, I did my job, and you go home and have dinner with your kids, you hug on them, love on them as you blew little baby parts all over the walls and at a wedding and stuff. I mean, I'm going, you know, what do you see? Little puffs of smoke. You don't see the impact. Well, they don't want to show it to you. They had enough problems with journalism, you know, in the Vietnam War, so they kind of changed that. You got the Iran hostage crisis. You got the Cold War. You got we boycott the Moscow Olympics. You got America. You got scorekeeping of, you know, the and it's patriotism. This is what, you know, you really got to, you know, understand this. You know, it's us versus them. It's a scorecard on how many gold medals we got versus the Soviet Union of the Eastern Western Bloc. I kind of, seriously, and this is about supposed to bring, you know, us together as human beings of you know, giving props to the fastest, most flexible, most talented, most beautiful implementation of gymnastics, of the pole vaulter, the fastest swimmer, of the celebrating our capacity as human beings. It's a scorecard for countries. You know, when my, you know, I think the Olympics is going to be of use when, you know, when my win is, this is my win. When you have people allowed to compete without a country, and they have these guys from Central Africa, oh, his country, he was a refugee from that. We got to get him a country. He can't be his own guy. Got to give him a country. I owe you this country. If you can't make this team, find this guy. You can't make that team an injury. You kind of, I go skate for North Korea because my next former girlfriend's roommate's cousin was North Korean, and I get to skate for South North Korea, kind of where I get to skate. And this is happening. You have NBA champions, you know, going, you know, playing for different, you know, where their ancestors of whatever. You know, it's so such a joke anymore. It's not even really, you know, what did they got a passport for that? Did they get one? How does this work? And where's the one guy that's the fastest swimmer of, I was born on a yacht and have no country, and I lived in the South Pacific and the island of, it didn't belong to anybody, and I'm the fastest swimmer, you know, I race dolphins and kind of put me in there and I win. And I don't have a country. I don't. You know what my anthem is? You know, it's some AC/DC. You know what my flag is? It's like none. It's black. It's black and gold. You see my point? When you can do that and you stop this patriotism kind of stuff, false flags, any flag, national event kind of, you know, made you look and this and beheading kind of, that stops. I'm so sick of this. It's a scorecard of our guy versus their guys, and this patriotism is killing us, literally. Fortunately, that wasn't the promise of the founding of this country. Declaration of Independence, a beautiful document. In 1994, we filed an initiative here in Arizona. Here in Arizona, we have the power of initiative. There's like three things. And in fact, it was so hated by the federal government that they would not allow Arizona to become a state until we removed the power of initiative, referendum, and recall. Because I think it was Taft, he was a judge, and in there you could recall, the people could take petition, take out the recall judges. You go, nope, can't have that. Can't be a state. Next. Take it out. Then the next election cycle, the people of Arizona changed the constitution, put it right back in. Okay? So it become a state. The last, the 48th state, the last of the continental U.S., 1912, Valentine's Day, 14th. We just celebrated our 100th anniversary. And what do? We got legislation passed to that. They didn't know it was us that wrote it. Karen Johnson put it in. They got it on our centennial. As, you know, to supply gold, silver, and copper medallions, not to exceed medallions in the plural. We kept having to go back because the legislative council kept changing it. They kept changing two things. One, plural, because we wanted to not to exceed 1 ounce, one troy ounce, but it could be 10th ounce, half ounce. We wanted to have different denominations available if we wanted, so that's why it was medallions, to be produced in sufficient quantity to supply all public demand. And they kept taking that sentence out. After it gets done, it gets voted on the floor, it goes to the legislative council, go back to approve, and she kept having me and Powell would go in and look at the legislation. They keep taking that sentence out. I was shocked it passed, to be honest. But you could see that anything that says gold, man, there's somebody from somewhere. They're making sure, oh, hell no. Then there are a bunch of shenanigans. They actually, I got some of the medallions, the coins, but they amped up a bunch of cheap fees and charged, you know, an ounce of gold on this, and we produce our own, and it's $3,000. Because they can't. But we showed that you could do it. It meant our own, not a currency, not money, not a coin. Commemorative medallion here in Arizona, already done. Done. John Birch Society doing this thing. I think it was Utah or Idaho. And they're going, oh, you got it. We already did it. Here it is. You want to see it? No. Well, is it, we've got sufficient quantity to supply all the public demand. Now we just got to get away with all those fees that they put on it. So this is, you know, we have this kind of impact. You know, we can use this, but it's all cultural stuff. So what's the solution? I got so many stories of just, you know, the efforts that we make here to try and have this kind of impact on a cultural standpoint, on a cultural aspect, on a culture. Generation Next, I call it. Generation Next. The young people that are in their teenagers, during the 07-08 election cycle with Dr. Paul, now having families. They come out of college. They probably got a big debt. They got their sheepskin. Hey, man, I got to give me my job. I have no job. Got debt, though. Can't discharge it. Can't bankrupt it. Okay, got debt. How are you going to pay that debt? When they did the TARP, you know, if you look this up, go, it's not my debt. Freedom's Phoenix. Let's do, it's not my debt. Freedom's Phoenix. You'll see when they pass the TARP, my first grandchild was in my daughter-in-law's womb. They passed the TARP while she's in the womb. I knew that was like another, I don't know, $30,000, $40,000 they just added to her backpack per person. I mean, that's enormous. Yep, and you got it on you, and you owe it. How is it her debt? I mean, you can't even blame her parents for, well, you knew that, you know, when you conceived the child, it's your responsibility, not the debt. I mean, she's already conceived. She's in the womb. Boom. They pile this on her. It's not her debt. So we did billboards, 9 locations, freeways all around the valley here. FreedomsPhoenix.com. It's not my debt. And it had to, 2 of them that we did. One was a baby in the womb. It's not my debt. That was my granddaughter. I'm going, hey, you know, Scott Beezer did the art with us. I'm going, it's not my debt. I go, how do you say that this child, it's their debt? How do you do that? They're in the womb and you just charge them with debt. How do you, they're tax slaves more again, added on. How is it their debt? How does that happen? Oh, you're born here because we say. Oh, really? We do t-shirts. We do baby clothes, not my debt. Balloons, not my debt. You go to Not My Dad on YouTube, you'll see a bunch of people. They started a campaign where you had these kids doing answers to videos at 4409. Shelton, he's one of the activists here. 4409. You know, it does a lot of, you know, activism video. It has like 60, 70,000 subscribers. I mean, it was freaking ridiculous. So he did the video, It's Not My Debt. People would answer the video, little kids going, It's Not My Debt. It's Not My Debt. It's Not My Debt. It's Not My Debt. Not My Debt. Do a compilation of it, and hundreds of kids, Not My Debt. Wow. Okay. Billboards up for 3 months. 9 locations. Kept rotating them around and everything. You know, It's Not My Debt. Baby in the womb. What was the next one? The other one had these babies just sitting down with barcodes on their butt being scanned over a grocery scanner. Yeah, one of those grocery scanner barcodes on it is not my debt. How is it their debt? This is the mindset that we operate under as parents and grandparents. And there's always some hurting fear. You have to follow us. Let us lead you into the abyss of because somebody's going to try and kill you. And look what they did in Mushroom Cloud. I've been saying St. Louis Arch, Golden Gate Bridge, toast. The reason I say that is because they need some kind of iconic central in the center of America as near, you know, St. Louis's podcast. There goes the arch. You know, it's something. You know, it's going to be something. What is it going to, I don't know, something. Something. What are they going to do when everybody's got a video camera on their hip, their phone? There's going to be 15 gazillion, you know, videos of whatever happened. Then what? There's going to be people that now are people that they can't determine who they are that are inside the machine. They're going to call people like me, like you. They're listening to this. They're going to say, hey, who do I go to tell and do and go, oh, and I got the ability to put up, you know, video. Can't be censored, can't be taken down when you do it in certain ways that be a common. I want you guys to look up something, madesafe.net, M-A-I-D, like a maid clean your house. Madesafe, S-A-F-E.net. It was a distributed internet, you know, the where it's kind of like the internet becomes Bitcoin and Napster kind of rolled up. And we've been interviewing them and keeping track of this. And we were really promoting it this last spring. And they had a launch, a fundraiser. They raised $7 million in 5 hours. That's how much support this kind of thing has. It's a distributed internet. Then you have, look up this, OuterNet. Just do a search on it, OuterNet. It's a group of satellites that now, started August 11th, my anniversary, August 11th. We've been talking about this for over a year. OuterNet. What it does is it brings up a satellite dish you carry around with you. It's about the, you know, the, 18 inches in diameter. You just set it down, you open it up, put the dish on, and it's a hard drive. It just downloads whatever you need from the internet anywhere in the world. Well, check it out, OuterNet. Oh, you want another one? Iridium messaging. These were satellites that were up in the late 90s. It was a Motorola manufactured satellite constellation of 80 something satellites, which they need at least 60 something to have total, you know, like coverage. And it was supposed to be satellite phones would be cheap and everything. They kind of, those didn't like that. So they just sat up there. You know, their bankruptcy judges tried to get them to deorbit it or some stupid thing like that. And what do they do with it? Now you have anywhere, text anywhere. South Pole text, free, done. Just look at Iridium text messaging. It'll come up. These technologies, along with UHF. UHF, when you did video, you go channel 3, you know, 39 and 46 or whatever it is, UHF band, you know, now everything's digital. So those UHF bands, they have a radius of like 60 miles. How many major cities does that cover just one? Broadband, UHF, you got a mesh network that goes on that with the city of whatever that connects to the other city that and internet. That's not on DARPA's grid. You don't have this ISP World Wide Web. Everybody, all they got to do is go to AT&T, you know, Cox, Verizon, and they know what everybody's doing. What if it's distributed? What if it's not on their grid? What if it's encrypted? What if? What if? Can we free ourselves with communication? Yes. not later, now. CubeSat, SpaceX. Look this up. Spaceship one, government zero. I just started doing radio. It was less than a year, you know, just over a year I'd been on radio. I've been talking about, here we go. Spaceship one. I got to tell you this story. These are great stories that you don't know. It's a perspective that I have. I know where we go. I'm not afraid. No fear. Quit being afraid. They feed on your fear. In 1998, I think, a spring of 98, we're in Washington, D.C. for my brother-in-law, was getting married. We go there. My kids are small. They're probably, I don't know, preteen. Got to go there in Space Museum. I took them in there. I said, I'll just stand here at the door. You know, I took them kind of this is that and kind of looked and peace, go. Be back here in an hour. There's a clock. I'll stand here by, and you know, stay with each other, and you go and have fun, and I'll just stay here and don't lose you. Go. While I'm standing there at the big glass wall, the entrance to the Air and Space Museum, between the two doors, you know, nobody goes there. I mean, why? You're coming in, you're going out the doors, and in between the two, there's like a distance of about, I don't know, 20 yards, and they had this little 4-foot-high monument, a plaque, a granite kind of an angled little plaque on there announcing the Onosari X Prize. And it said, in the Air and Space Museum, at least they put it somewhere, they go, you know, if you can launch an astronaut and the weight of two others, the weight of three astronauts into space, which I guess at the time was 100 kilometers, you know, I think 60 miles up or something, they go, you do that and you bring it back, refuel it, do it again within 2 weeks, and don't take out more than 10%, still 90% of the original unfueled weight of the spacecraft, because what they wanted is to be reusable. Okay, Buck Rogers. You can do that, $10 million. Now, of course, it may cost them a gazillion dollars to do it, but you get $10 million. That's the prize. And I go, oh, how awesome is this? And what am I looking at? You see, in the distance, the Spirit of St. Louis, the airplane that Lindbergh did across the Atlantic. That was a $25,000 prize, which might have as well been about that much. You know, $10 million, I don't know what equivalent was, but it was a lot of money. You go across the Atlantic, boom, $25,000. Launched aviation. So I'm going, okay, I can see where this is going. Keep in mind, this is 98. It's 2003, and I see the announcement that, was it Paul Allen, which is the Microsoft partner of Bill Gates. He pledged $20 million to Burt Rutan in the pursuit of the Onosari X Prize. I'm on the radio show. I'm going, we're going to space! And government's not invited. Budget's a genie. We're going to space. It's like Tan Stoffel. Budget's a genie. You know, we're going to space and government's not invited. We even have one of our covers that, you know, of our magazine that depicts that. So what happened is we're talking about it. All of a sudden, it's June of 04. A lot of my audience went. We had like, I don't know, it was just a dozen, two dozen of it, you know, went. It was like a caravan. You know, I had some libertarian friends. We were the only ones with signs. The only other signs that were there, there were 12, 13,000 people out in the middle of the desert, Mojave, out there. They were shocked. They go, where the hell did all these people come from? And the only sign I saw was someone selling binoculars. We had six signs. You go look it up. Spaceship One, Government Zero, and you'll see the signs on image search. Pal Gamble came up with that idea, and we made them while we were watching Band of Brothers one weekend, you know, DVD, you know, series, that HBO series. We were just sitting there watching that while we were making these signs, them by hand. We projected it with a digital projector, you know, on, or I think it might have been just an overhead. We did it up on the wall, traced it out, painted it by hand, went there, Spaceship One, Government Zero. We're going to space, and government's not invited. Can't hear the government scream in space. Government is lost in space. Free enterprise brought to you, you know, free market brought to you by free enterprise and, you know, Star Trek font. I mean, we just on and on and on. We had, you know, these signs. It was great. They go up. They come down. Discovery Channel did a documentary called Into the Black. There were two, is a two-part series. In one of them, it shows Bert Rutan running over to the sideline there. You know, people were standing there waving and so on. I ran over there with that sign, Spaceship One, Government Zero. Bert Rutan grabbed it out of my hand, ran over from there, towing the spacecraft around by a pickup. Grabbed it because I got to send a message to the media. And he runs off. He gives it to the astronaut. He stands up there, holds it up, and he goes, Spaceship One, Government Zero, and it went across the planet, but hardly a word here in the United States. Why? Because it wasn't government. We knew, but what did we also know? We knew that it meant that private space race started, that we were going to be able to go to space, put up our own communication satellites. Here comes Elon Musk, SpaceX. Do you even know about this? Do you know that there are two private space stations in orbit right now? Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Bigelow Aerospace. He's the gazillionaire that owns budget suites and hotels. You know, he has a budget kind of, $249 a week to stay at the whatever, out of Las Vegas. All these people, Elon Musk, him, they made their millions so that they could go to space. They say it. They go, yeah, I always wanted a guy who knew how to make money so I can go to space. He had paid $60 million or something for a space launch by the Soviets to put up Genesis 1. It's an inflatable space station. Boom. There it is. Holds atmosphere, Kevlar, kind of code. And there it is, done. Oh, that worked well. We'll do another one. Boom, done. They're going to do another test one, a third one. He said, that's working so well. We're just going to full size. So what did NASA do? They go, no, you don't want to do that. Here, we're going to divert your resource. We'll give you, pay you some money to put a module on to hook onto the space station. Yeah, who cares? Well, I guess I get money to do that. Elon Musk from Tesla Motors. You know, his cousin runs Solar City. So here's a guy that has a big solar energy thing that powers the Tesla car. You buy a Tesla car, electric car, you don't pay for electric refueling. You go to the superstations, you pull in, it's free. Get something to eat, we're good. They got superstations here in Phoenix. You see a lot of these Tesla cars in Scottsdale, that's for sure. So I'm going, okay. So he's going, yeah, I want to go to Mars. He goes, Elon Musk, this is, you know where he made his money? PayPal. Sells it to eBay, kind of, thanks for the money, PayPal. I got the money, now to do SpaceX, here we go. We've been following this from the beginning. I want to die on Mars, preferably not on impact. Falcon, named after the Millennium Falcon. He goes to Falcon 9. Puts three Falcon 9s together. It's called Falcon Heavy. Two of those, you go to Mars. Done. Next. They're already training the first 1,000 candidates. They go through the screening process. They're training for going to Mars right now. Hear about that, did you? Maybe not. Why? That's not of interest. Every seven-year-old second grader is not getting this as an inspiration. That's why they don't tell you. Because Generation Next, when you're going through puberty, you're starting to question authority. You got junior high separating elementary from high school. Why? Because you're questioning authority. You're going, absolutely. Authority is dad. Here's a DARE program. Turn them in. But love us because we like baby whales and seals and stuff. I can see it. Eliminate the imagination. Eliminate the competition. Eliminate. Excuse me, I got to drink my juice. Hold on a second. Here we go. Then we grow the vegetables in our aquaponics garden. I've been juicing for 4 years. It's freaking awesome. I feel so much better. I mean, I'll eat whatever. I'm not, a saint, but it's like medicine. I at least do this, get some good stuff in, then I eat. Okay. All right, I talked about it. I share this stuff with you because it changes your life. It's from experience of an older, I am you. And the evolutionary kind of leave me alone is kind of going to him, what's the solution? Extract yourself from the man. Space race. Well, right now. I'll get into the nutrition thing here. We're going to get into the solutions. But I got to tell you this. When the Saturn V would go up and Apollo's going to the moon and all that kind of stuff, I remember as I was at 68, 69. So I was 8 years old? I remember camping with my family, an overhead camper, you know, on a pickup. We were in a camping area in Florida, where I grew up till I was 12, moved to Arizona. We're camping, little 6-inch black and white, you know, DC-powered television, turned it on to watch the moon landing. And I remember there and walking out and looking at the moon, kind of go, ooh, there we are. My dad kept, you know, stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up. Finally, it's going there. They're getting close. They're going, oh, and then I was awake. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It inspired an entire generation. Everything was space this, and, you know, and flight that, and aerodynamic or whatever, the cars, the way, the inspiration, the people. Star Trek. This is 68 or so. Star Trek, before we even landed on the moon, Star Trek. I just watched the entire series on Netflix a few months ago. It took me months to watch it from the beginning to the end, every single Star Trek. For the first time, some of those I hadn't seen more than once. Some of them, I think one of them, I don't even remember. You know, I'm going, wow, what an awesome show. It was awesome, and it was very inspiring. We have almost, I don't know, we may even have warp drive and, you know, transporters as far as you know. Got the replicators, it's called 3D printing. So I'm just going, wow, this is, this whole inspiration, how much did that inspire? And it used to be that you would have on, at the grocery store, you would have magazines, entire sections. You go to a Blockbuster and they had, you know, videos back in the day, entire sections that were science fiction. Now they're in with action or horror or something. You go to the bookstore, you don't even have science fiction anymore. Not the grocery store. Why? It was very popular. Why is that? What? What happened? You're inspiring the kids too much. You can't have them thinking of something else different. You can't have them reading Heinlein, where he's, you know, talking about line marriages or polygamy or doing, you know, whatever. You know, just get your mind out of whatever is possible of how you have social order and how you even do some kind of representation of a community of whatever. It's different. No, Americanism is exceptional, and we got to do it in here in 9/11. So what's the solution? The technology is there. Right now, I got to tell you this. SpaceX right now, when you send out the Apollo, the Saturn V, they just, the five big giant engines, expensive first aid kind of, it's in the Atlantic and done. Well, of course, Lockheed and Boeing and them, they're like, you know, hey, man, yeah, you know, you need to build more. Well, if you're making your own engine and you're the only customer and you're doing the best and most and brightest and I got and kind of, you know, I created it, you're Tony Stark or AKA, you know, Elon Musk, you're going, you know what, I'd like to keep those. I had a little bit more fuel. I just have that first stage come back and land, which they just started doing. Landing out in the ocean right now. First stage comes back, boom, lands on the water and then you let it fall over. What happens when you have the first stage, reusable first stage, of these large, all of a sudden now, launches that are $150 million for military satellites that they can do for 20% before that reusable first stage. We're going to space. Will we invite government? There's going to be space threats of the space hyper, the space Chinese, or the killer satellite of the space. It's going to be Battlestar Galactica, or the space. So we got space. We're going to try and bring government to space. But it's going to be like Firefly, one of the greatest series ever. And they go, I got to cancel that. Too frame, too anti-government, too something. No. The fans went stupid. I remember, you know, we were, you know, pimping that, you know, on my show in 04 or 05. When I'm going, what the heck? All of a sudden, and fans got Serenity, the movie made. We're going into the black and we're not coming back. Boil the ocean, burn, let's see, was that burn the land, boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. This is this mentality, I see it coming, and we have so much to look forward to, and all we got to do is not beat them. We just got to survive them with our humanity intact. There's going to be another 9/11 type event. There's going to be another war. There's going to be another, whether false flag, not whatever, hurting an opportunist they'll take and try and hurt us. And so we talk about 9/11 as what? know, it's a conspiracy if they did. That's they, them, those. They won't leave us alone. They'll use whatever they can. You'll be at, you know, anything. I mean, pick. It doesn't matter. Quit being on team versus team. Be on team humanity. Humanity marches on. I was the MC of the Revolution March in Washington along with Gary Franchi when Ron Paul, we had a big event, and one of the speakers right before Ron Paul was Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and they were running late on time. They tried to cut the speaker before him, Adam Kokesh. And they were trying to get me to, you know, bump Adam Kokesh. Yeah, you know, just bump him, you know, because we're running. And I made a deal with Chuck Baldwin that if he would cut his a little bit shorter, just do from like 15 to 7 minutes, you know, I kind of linger up there, shake his hand. When Dr. Paul came up, he can get a picture of him shaking Dr. Paul's hand up there. That'd be payment for making a shorter speech so Adam have time. Chuck's like, cool. He's very gracious. Yeah, that's good. You know, whatever. You know, peace out. And eventually, Dr. Paul did endorse him for his presidential run as the Constitution candidate in 08. So it came out okay. So that worked out well. But they were really trying to press because they run it late because Michael Scherer, we kept everybody on time, and I was being real butthead about it. Gary and I both keep it on time. Michael Scherer, the ex-CIA guy, man, oh, he went long. We're about ready to get the hook. And I had a lot of good things to say, but it was going to bump Adam. I had read Adam's speech a few days before because we had gone there a few days earlier. We're putting up signs, doing our banner thing, Revolution March all over the Washington, D.C. And, you know, ooh, you know, Department of Homeland, you're not allowed to kind of, and we got a bunch of signs up anyway. No, 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 no. Well, Gary and I were writing our thing, you know, they say, you know, it was a speech that he and I, Gary and I did in opening up the March speeches. And while I was doing that, Donna was out putting signs up with Adam Kokesh, and he read to her his speech. And she told me she couldn't remember, but she said, you got to read this speech. I said, well, I'd like to meet him. So Charles Goyette was one of the speakers there also. So we went to dinner with Adam Kokesh and some of his supporters, and Charles and I and our spouses. And we go there, and I read the speech, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is going to happen. This is, I get it. So I made sure that he got to give that speech. And in the line, one thing that really blazoned in my head was this: humanity marches on. I never forgot that. Of all speech, blah, 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 humanity marches on. It was a lot of great, it's a great speech. Adam Kokesh, Revolution March, go watch it. And that's what, you know, launched Adam. And I'm going, oh, we just found out that he's not going to jail for his, you know, shotgun thing in Washington, D.C. Also, he just released, I read it. On my way, where's I going? I was going to Pork Fest, I think. Yeah, I was going to Pork Fest. I read his book, Freedom, or I listened to it. He had an MP3 version. I listened to it on the plane. 3 hours. 3 hours to listen to him read his book. I highly recommend it. It is, I was wasted. It has nothing to do with Adam. It's just Adam, you know, on different, you know, what freedom means in different categories of life. You know, just kind of not about his story, not about who he is, not about any of that crap. No ego in there. It's just him reading, you know, the definition of what freedom means in different. Fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, I don't endorse and pimp stuff unless they fantastic. Freedom. Adam Kokesh. Free. Go get it. Download it, plagiarize it, beat, go. That he encourages it, go listen to it, done, you know, heck, you know, just the time I'm talking, you could got halfway through the book. When he said that, humanity marches on, I knew exactly what he meant. Humanity is represented always by Generation Next. It's always the children, the grandchildren that come up. You know, you want to explain, you want to get something explained to you, ask any 3 to 12-year-old. You know, they'll tell you what thievery is. They'll tell you what hypocrisy. They'll tell you, you know, what a liar is. They'll tell you. You know, yeah, but in case, yeah, that's all this indoctrination, mental gymnastics. They start teaching you in social studies and history and economics and government of how you, I'm just a bill crap that starts in 7th, 8th grade. Hell, now they're doing it down even younger. Here in Arizona, when Janet Napolitano was governor, she gave up all kinds of stuff. All these, you know, whatever she's got to give up in conservative causes of anything to do one thing. Her main thing was taxpayer-funded preschool. Getting you in kindergarten wasn't enough. They got to get you even younger. We need to get, you know, I pledge allegiance to my granddaughter, 4 years old, starts kindergarten. Like 2 weeks later, she turns 5, but she starts kindergarten. 4 years old. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Seriously? Which one of those words does she understand? What's that group, the whitest boys you ever met or something? They just put white boys Pledge of Allegiance. I bet you it comes up. They do a bunch of YouTubes. I pledge allegiance to this. This is not a form of brainwashing. I mean, you know, that is, oh, so true. And I see it, and I talk to my, you know, my daughter-in-law, my son. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, you know, dad, just, you know, let it, you know, roll with the, I go, homeschool, homeschool, homeschool. Because we homeschooled our children for a year or two. Then we did charter. Then we went to private school. Because, you know, it's just, they had four kids, and my wife did. It was, I'd love to have done it. I mean, if I could have, you know, stayed home and, I mean, at home, hell yeah. Because I get to learn with them. This is awesome. You know, but my wife just, you know, that wasn't her forte. You know, that, you know, boys. You know, hey, do what they want. But, so I'm going, you know, for some people, this is a really good alternative. A solution. So what are some of the solutions? The technology is there. Right now, you go sunelec.com. Sun, E-L-E-C. It's Sun Electronics. You know, it's a page. We just found this page here. They have a local distributorship. It's a will call warehouse that you ordered online. You get solar, big name brand sharp panels. Okay, solar. 32 cents a watt. 32 cents. People were screaming they're getting a freaking awesome deal when it was $3. Oh my God, a dollar we can get installed. We got that, 32 cents a watt. Yeah, buy it in bulk. I mean, but you know, it's like a couple people go in, boom, I got two houses, I'm done. I already got three guys want to do it. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let me go and get the inverters and everything. You know, for probably $5,000, I don't have an electric bill anymore. We have a two-axle boat trailer. We got rid of the boat. Somebody donated kind of here. Now, yeah, I don't need this. You know, a piece of crap. I want the trailer. Batteries. All the interface inverters and battery controlling blah, blah, blah stuff goes in, and we'll make it a module unit that go on the trailer or go in the house. We have the panels that will be folded onto that. It kind of spreads out and kind of, yeah, and then I got my own battery station. I haul around trailer and I moved here and it's mine now. Done. Next. Don't even got to put it in the house. Done. Now, of course, you got to have a little room to do it, but that's what we want to do. Go out and get some land. We have like 2 acres that we do here. That's what the, you know, call it Sunburst Farms. It's irrigated. We have 70-foot trees. In Phoenix, Arizona. There's an ocean of water underneath this. Wells everywhere. I mean, you know, it's just, they don't want to tell you. You know, Southwest, drying up, the drought, it kind of, yeah, and our aquifers are full. Now we're good. They're not telling you the truth about stuff. My wife's a real estate agent. When you do real estate, they go through, and because you're doing contracts, they got to tell you the truth. I mean, or you're in breach of lying fiduciary, I got to not lie, you know, in real estate. So, you know, what's the water condition? How much is there? What's the levels? What's got? We're full. They don't tell anybody that. Why? It's a control thing. Lies. Lies, 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 lies. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So what's the solution? Quit being dependent on any system. Sure as hell, they, them, those system. So what do? We have a pond out here as a waterfall feature. We turned into tilapia. We put fish in there. We have a solar-powered, you know, sump pump that takes it and goes over to these geodesic domes that we do. Go look at this. Go Money Dome. Money Dome, Freedom's Phoenix. We built this dome. We take the festivals, and it was an exchange for doing silver, Bitcoin, gold, and money. We go to Pork Fest. We knew everybody was wanting to trade in silver, but, you know, how did you do the exchange? Kind of, so we created the Money Dome. It was kind of cool. We put retail, you know, t-shirts and kind of crap like that, just because I wanted to build a dome. I wanted to see how hard it was. I thought it was cool, and we did it, and we did it. Make it out of a half-inch EMT conduit, you know, which is the, you know, like electrical wires go through. You see in restaurants or in bathrooms or something, you see this, you know, this tubing that goes around, silver color, and electrical wires, just that. You cut it in certain lengths. You got, you know, three phase, meaning you do it three different sizes. You flatten the end, drill a hole through it, put a bolt in, done. Go Money Dome, you'll see it. We did that, and we go, wow, this is pretty cool. So we built three more. Friend of ours, he raises quail. You know, the Asian community here loves quail eggs and quail, so he can't make them enough. You know, he does hundreds at a time. He's gotten the quail, and oh, my goodness. You know, it's just, but he needed a place to run out of room. He needed a geodesic dome to make into, you know, a coop or something. All right, cool. So we did three. Two of them we put on the side of my, you could look up, you know, a hashtag aquadome. You know, or just look up Freedom's Phoenix Aquadome, and you'll see, you know, we need to add more pictures. We got way more done than what you're seeing. But, you know, so that's one thing that we're working on is getting there. We've got to get updated and all the stuff that we've done. But you go look at the Aquadome, you'll see two geodesic domes. We cover it in nice, you know, colorful kind of shade cloth. We got more shade to do here than greenhousing. But, you know, it's for my neighbors because it's on the side there. I don't want them to freak out. It's at least party. We pump the fish water in through these grow beds. Aquaponics, boom. Grows big time. Some float beds, it goes back, it filters the water, it goes back to the fish, and it's in a circle done. I got fish, I got vegetables. Next, we have chickens. Probably about 24 chickens now. So we get, I don't know, 12 to 20 eggs a day. Dime a dozen, dimeadozen.info. We got that, we saved that, we got that domain, because I never say, dime a dozen. Yeah, it's dime a dozen. Dime a dozen what? Silver dimes are worth a dozen eggs. You give me a silver dime, 90% silver pre-64 dime, U.S. dime, you know, they call them mercury dimes, really liberties, but you give me, you know, these old dimes, that's got enough silver content worth a dozen eggs. People know they come out and give me silver dime eggs. Done. Next. We had to get more chickens because we're going through so many eggs. Get lots of dimes. A lot of it goes to my family, though. But they're freaking awesome eggs. So we got chickens, eggs, vegetables, fish. The reason I did this is because I wanted to show that how to get off of this, all this stuff that happens around the world, and all this that, you know, America and her interests, and all this, we got to have all this debt, and all this infrastructure, and all this, you got to go to work, all this time you spend working for taxes and the man and, you know, get their cut of the Federal Reserve note, that they are a part of every side of a transaction. Not only is the Federal Reserve and the government part of a transaction, it's both sides. Buyer, seller, deposits, use. You know what I mean? They get a piece of everything. So what happens when you do, heck, Bitcoin? You know, we've been pimping Bitcoin. I think that's going to be turned into the freaking cash of society of the whatever. So we're keeping track of that. But the concept, you know, Cody Wilson is a regular guest, spoke at a Freedom Summit. Big thing was dark wallet. What happens when you mix them up? Is that going to be allowed? Is it going to be illegal? No, we got to know who you are. Who starts taking it? eBay and PayPal. Well, they sure as hell know who you are then, don't they? What if it's done between individuals on Craigslist? Oh, and selling the eggs. Bitcoin. What happens when you free yourself from their system? You start trading in junk. So go to Silver Calculator. It's an app you can get on iPhone and on Android right now. We've been doing this since 10. Say 4 years. We're talking about on the radio. Within 10 days, a guy from Maryland created it. Silver Calculator app. Any kind of silver you have, ounce, junk silver, convert it into euro, dollar, gold, done. Next. And it's in your smartphone app. Boom. Go to festivals. We do it all the time. Silver dime cards. Daily Paul is a fundraiser. We did these silver dime cards. We put Ron Paul Revolution on it with his picture. We did one Daily Paul, you know, piece, because we're doing Daily Paul, and the P was, you know, piece. So we did the first one, piece. We did, when we made those, we did 6,000 dime cards for Daily Paul in 24 hours. Boom. Oh, they get a $10,000 check for that one. You know, they're cut of the way they're going, yeah, and who's your best friend now? You know, so we had to have the Silver Calculator app. We had to, you use these. Now, there's a premium on them if you want their collector's item, whatever. But we'd have these dime cards at the Porcupine Pine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire, and we'd be the bank. The money dome. We go, all right, you bring them back, we'll give you money back for what you bought them for. What ones, you know, they didn't bring back, we made profit on. You know, because we charge, I don't know, it was, $3 or $5 a piece or something. We'll buy them back. If you want to keep them, fine. As a souvenir, you got, that's where we made the profit. Big profit. Okay. Go look it up. Silver Calculator. Look up some of our promotion, you know, YouTubes that we did. 4409 wallet voting. And you'll see we go around and putting, you know, nickels in parking meters downtown. And then we, you know, promote, you know, free parking. You know, learn about, you know, wallet voting, and then kind of we put, you know, start teaching people, put it on their cars. You know, hey, I got some free parking. Oh, and what's this? Silver Calculator app. Why? Because we want to teach. Humanity marches on. We want to teach them to be off the grid. Quit using Federal Reserve notes. Quit using the bank account. Quit. You know, extract yourself from that system in the Fed by ignoring it. In the Fed, I don't give a crap. Keep it. I don't give a crap. I'll just ignore it. Food. Grow yourself. All right. Not only is it better quality, you can barter with everything. There's another thing. It's called, look this up, farmmatch.com. Young man, teenager, to his early 20s, Crohn's disease, had intestinal, all kinds of problems, kind of missed his teenage years because of, you know, he had this problem. Learned to heal himself with organic foods, but he had to drive hours to go find all this stuff, the juice and kind of everything. He cures himself. Man, I got to come up with a solution for this. So what does he do? He finds all these different places, creates a website that has farmers, and we pimped it out here in Arizona. I said, yeah, bring that up. Hell yeah. We bring it in, have all these different small farms all over the place doing all kinds of different organic, and we gotten people in their backyard and kind of, this is what I have, and they list it, and people go, this is what I need. I got this condition or, you know, cancer treatment or prevention, or I just want to get, where do I go? Boom, match. Done. Next, farmmatch.com. Sell your own stuff. Go to farmers markets. So you start producing your own food. Can I demonstrate to my children and my grandkids that you can sustain yourself at least enough to get real quality food that you know? I mean, at least some greens, some kale, some broccoli, some something that you can put in the juicing that my wife does every day, just so I know that I'm, you know, got a chance of not dying by putting some good stuff in. You know, and if I go have a Lay's potato chip or a bowl of Rice Krispies, so what? At least I'm getting some good stuff in. Let's try that. What the heck? Let's put some good stuff in. Probably don't need that other crap anyway, but I mean, you know, my point is at least put some good stuff in, a count or something. Budwig, B-U-D-W-I-G, Budwig. They found out, there was a chemist in, I think it was the 30s, she found out it was a cancer treatment thing, just a protein, whatever. And what happened was, she goes, I can see why everybody's getting sick. You used to go to the doctor. Don't you ever wonder, you know, if there was NyQuil in medieval times, would there be wars fought over it? Just so you can get a good night's sleep. You know, I'm sure there was the equivalent of it, some root de la leaf or something, you know, but, you know, yeah, it's probably cocaine. But, you know, I'm going, okay, so you go, there's always some kind of drug naturally you have somewhere, but, marijuana. But I'm going, okay, how did we survive? How did the freak did we make it? You know, the illnesses and the plagues, you know, well, a lot of times there was a lot of plagues, and it was all mainly because of nutrition, hygiene, wash your freaking hands, have running water. So these are the things, technology such as this, that we learn, that we, humanity marches on. Well, after, you know, industrialization, you know, Kellogg and them, they're, you know, taking all the, you know, whatever grain, toasting, doing kind of, you know, oatmeal for the masses, kind of whatever. And they're processing everything. People are getting sick. Or you go to the doctor for, you know, you broke a bone or something. You have, you know, good nutrition. You know, grandma had the eggs in the back of World War II. They were saying you should have two hens for every person in your household. This was a big thing. Oh, yeah, and grow that hemp. So you're going, all right. So you got, you're taking care of yourself. A lot of people that lived on farms, there was a depression. I didn't notice. So you get quality food, then they start processing everything. Everything comes in a package. Everything is in a supermarket. Everything's got to have a long shelf life. Everything's got to last 15 gazillion years. Everything's got to be shipped. Everything is not fresh anymore. All of a sudden, you start to find out people are getting sick. You're going, why? Because they don't want the oils to go rancid. They do. They go, ew, you know, very short period of time. How do you do that? Well, you process them enough that all the goody is gone out of them, and people get sick. You're not getting the nutrition you need. So what is Budwig, the chemist? She goes, hey, all you got to do, I tell you what, you take... they call it cork, which is like cottage cheese. Okay, in Europe, it's called cork. But take cottage cheese, no-fat cottage cheese. You take flaxseed oil. It's like, I don't know, 2/3 of a cup of cottage cheese and 6 tablespoons of flaxseed oil. And you take emulsifying those single blender, like you're mixing a drink, until it's like a mayonnaise. Takes a couple minutes, boom, it's mayonnaise. Tastes like cardboard. Okay, but what do you add to it? I go, wow. It's the emulsification of that. What it does is, because of the oxidizing properties of the flaxseed, it brings, you know, with the proteins, it goes into your cells, so it oxidizes, it kills the cancer. Because cancer is like a fungus. It's like fermentation. It feeds off sugar. You know, it's just, you know, they're starting to find it, and our bodies are so acid, we need more alkaline. Well, it's just a diet thing. So she goes, look, all you do is you take the proteins that are in the cottage cheese, you emulsify it with the flaxseed oil, you eat that, you're done. And I go, I am not eating it. This stuff tastes like cardboard. I got to do something. Well, you can add some different flavor. What do? Capful of vanilla extract, some organic honey, a little bee pollen for my allergies. I don't have any more with that, by the way. And I put that in there. Maybe add some blueberries, strawberries, some nuts, kind of like candy. My grandkids love it. Can we have some bug wig? You know? Bud, not bug. But I go, okay. So this, I've been doing this for 4 years. I feel awesome. Start going back to the gym. 2 hour work, because I don't have time. Twice a week, I do a 2 hour work, just beat the crap. I can't feel pain. It does. I can't go hard enough that I feel, you know, like I sore the next day. I can't. I've been trying for a month. I go, oh man, I'm going to get what for this time. I can't, because it repairs itself so fast. It oxygenates the cells. That's what the creatine is for. My kids in high school, they go, creatine, they pump up. They look like balloons. They get stretch marks on their pecs. I mean, seriously, I'm going, what the heck? Creatine hydrates your cells, a faster recovery. I do that naturally. I go, don't do that. You know, don't. Their coaches are telling them to do it. Humanity marches on. Technology, knowledge, education. There's going to be another scare you into submission of their authority to recognize it there. And then what do? They grab your land. They grab. You're not allowed to plant a tomato plant in your front yard. Can't have a garden. Can't have chickens. Can't build your own house. Can't. Still mine. 2013, I think it was the movie. Some older actors, you know, that I'm sure you'd recognize. I can't remember their names. Still mine. Go watch it. It was all about a farmer, a guy, his wife started getting Alzheimer's, needed to move from a two-story, kind of had his own lumber, his own logs, his own trees, his own mill, his own, he just wanted to build his own house. True story. Nope, not allowed. Agenda 21. Got a stroke dash form. Geodesic domes, there's, you know, a lot of ways you put them together and so on. We've had that we can build, a self-sustained, kind of do papercrete the outside, two-part insulation inside on concrete, done. House. 3 or 4 of these, you build furniture inside, we've been doing it, done. Not too hot, not too cold, not too dry, not too wet, not too hungry, not too thirsty. You take care of these things, done, next. Same standard of living. Why? Solar power. Food, energy. Oh, and you got electric car, and that's your battery backup. Transportation's done. Satellite communication. You start to see my point? All this stuff doesn't matter when you extract yourself from the grid. So what we're going to do is we're going to be pimping here. We did the Loveolution. What's the next phase of the Loveolution? We're doing a newspaper that's going to have QR codes throughout the whole thing. You sit there, you're on the toilet, you're at the diner, you've got a QR code to go, damn, boom. You're with your mobile device, you're able to watch video. You're able to go interface online. You're able to read it on your mobile device. You got a physical copy you can pass out, share, get more, and you got more links that you need and QR codes. And kind of do. We did entire door-sized QR code bumper sticker sheets that had for, you know, Free Talk Live, Free Aid, Adam Kokesh's show, Adam versus the Man. We did it for Freedom's Phoenix. We did it for Silly Status. Taxes are for slaves. With a QR code, it goes wherever the heck we want. And where do you put these? We have them in, you know, like 3-inch square down to 1-inch squares. We had little, medium, you know, large ones. And where do you put them? Our most successful, we put them at bus stops, we put them at, you know, train stations, we put them in, you know, public restrooms, we put them in behind the door, we put them there on the toilet paper dispenser, we put them in outhouses, and where do we really get the bang on them? Where do you have your smartphone? You got nothing to do for a few minutes as you are filling up your car with gas. And you just put the QR code on the nozzle, or you put it up on the thing. It's removable vinyl. Ain't no big thing. Just take it off. You got nothing to do. You got your smartphone. Blip. Silly Status. Taxes are for slaves. Blip. Where's it go? Wherever you want. QR code. Little vinyl. Call Liberty Stickers. They already got the template for it. LibertyStickers.com. You have the template. You look at it. You know, search for it on Freedom's Phoenix. We got the template. PDF. You know, what was it? Adobe, I think it was a PageMaker file. We got PDF version, and you know, Liberty Stickers got it. So these are the kind of, it's culture! I don't want to beat them. I'm not going to win by voting. I don't give a crap. I don't trust the system anyway. So the next thing that happens, the next beheading, the next mushroom cloud, the next iconic structure of America, kind of whatever, kind of goes, you know, then we got to go to war with someone. Going to war. The president announced we're going to war with Syria. You might as well just say Iran. You know, it behests to who? Who's just benefiting? You know, where's it? What? And why should we even care? It's not our debt. It's not my grandkids' debt. Sure as heck. Them borns, their debt? Are they responsible? You know, and just, you know, who do you got to ignore? I mean, I don't want to even fight them anymore. We don't have to. There's a large enough, the technology is there. We can extract ourselves from all the taxes and all the resources they get from energy. Next. Battery technology, here it comes. Food. Water. Communication. Hell, they're even doing seasteading. Look that up. Seasteading. They're building like oil derrick platforms. I'm out in the middle of the ocean. Who rules me now? I don't know. Some Triton submarine destroyer won't explain it to you. But, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, nope, I'm over here. This is the mindset that we need. Is there some place to go? I don't think so. I mean, we talked to, you know, a narco-polco, Jeff Berwick, a dollar vigilante. We just had him on last week on the show, and he's, pimping a event down in Acapulco that they're going to have in February, I think it is. February, March, the lap there. And, there's a Gulch, Chile, and, you know, they're having problems there inside. They'll hopefully get that fixed up. But, you know, there's a lot of places. You know, we have a lot of friends, you know, that Panama. Oh, man, they're really promoting Panama. There's a place there not too far from Panama City, an hour away, that's on the Pacific coast there. No bugs. We were there for a week. They said, man, you got to come down here. It's always 78 degrees, you know, and there's no bugs. Wind blows enough. It's dry enough. That, no bugs. It's like Southern California, no bugs. And you're only 8 degrees above the equator. You know, I'm going, wow, really? Okay. We have some friends that live in the mountains in Ecuador. Heck, our staff that post for Freedom's Phoenix, I go through and I find all these different posts and I send them to them. It's a husband and wife, friends, and their 22-year-old son are there, no permits, with the money that they make from Freedom's Phoenix posting this stuff. They are building their own homes. No permits. They just finished their home, 1,500 square feet, just put up the aquaponic tank for their fish. It was in Ecuador that we learned about it. It was a friend of ours was down there, and she sent it a picture. A guy had a hot tub gazebo, and he turned the hot tub into the fish tank and then grew all the vegetables around. I go, that's cool. Then we found out here in Mesa, Arizona, a guy bought for $40,000 some old track home during the crash here, or some messed up, had a bad pool in the back, and said $4,000 to fix the pool or rip it out. And he goes, you know what? I'll just turn it into gardenpool.org. .com, and it's called Garden Pool. You do a search on Garden Pool, boom, come up. He's on Doomsday Prepper. You know, of course, they want to make you look crazy, but, you know, ooh, and here's my helmet. You know, but that's all crap they do just to get it on. I can see, we had National Geographic called me, wanted me and Adam, you know, I think we're talking to Adam Kokesh too. They wanted us to be, you know, talk show host that would interview and talk to and kind of make people look crazy and go out and check them, and they talk and kind of, you know, they wanted to do kind of a Doomsday Prepper thing, and they go to, they squeeze your biceps, say, oh, you must lift, you're so strong, you're so smart. Vanity, my favorite sin. Devil's Advocate, Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves. Yeah, watch that movie. A friend of mine, he was over today. He had never seen Wag the Dog. Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro. That's a good enough reason to watch it right there. Wag the Dog. You want to know, you know, they just false flag. You want to see the false flag movie of the Hollywood tell you about the false flag? Watch Wag the Dog. I highly recommend it. Wag the Dog. What's another good movie? A more recent one. Captain America Winter Soldier. Yeah, you don't think so? Wait till you watch it. Michael Nystrom, I got on him, man. I'm like, oh, Daily Paul. I go, you got to watch this. He puts it up on Daily Paul. Is Ernie right? You know, Ernie really said I should watch it. Everybody going, yeah, it's awesome. Hydra, Department of Homeland Security infiltrated our entire government, you know, set. And what you got to watch it. Captain America Winter Soldier, you watch that and you go, damn, they made that movie? You'll see. Wag the Dog, you'll see. V for Vendetta, you'll see. Gladiator, you'll see. Patriot Mel Gibson, you'll see. I mean, this is not a secret to anybody. You know, Enemy of the State with Will Smith, you'll see. What's another one? The Siege. The Siege with Denzel Washington, Annette Bening, Bruce Willis, about them closing down New York. Martial Law. This is in the late 90s. These are things they saw, you know, and here it comes. Are we there yet? I used to say, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. We just have to survive the mess. Don't expend your resources on trying to change they, them, those. That, you know, it doesn't matter. That's just a distraction. They want to deplete your resources. They want to tax you out of existence. They want to, you got to have the new McMansion car stroke dash lifestyle. You're not a man or a woman unless you got whatever the hell they say you got. Stop! Work on investing in your own education yourself. I mean, hell, do a Khan Academy, go on something, you know, learn what you're passionate about, and sure as hell, don't go into debt. Student debt, seriously, it's bigger than credit cards now. It's bigger than used car loans. It's bigger than the only thing that's more than student loans at $1 trillion now are mortgages. Housing prices are going to take a dump here, too. I don't want to pay about, man, you think it was bad before. Here we go again. It was all just bubble stuff, bubble economics. So where do you go? You go to other countries? I don't think, I keep asking about what's the culture. Well, the laws are, I don't care about the laws. I don't care about the, you know, the government du jour. I want to know, what do the people say? Well, in America, what do the people say? I don't know. There's enough of the freedom movement. It's starting to, it's generation. Next, though, it's 30 years younger. It's 40 years and younger. It's the younger people. They're going, but they're trying to indoctrinate. They're trying to, so what's your goal? You know, just surround yourself with liberty-oriented, you know, people. Let your family, you don't got to be, you know, the butthead they don't want at Thanksgiving. You know, you don't got to be beating the crap out. You just want them to know what you think and how enough that when they start to think, or they start needing, or they're digging their way out, they're looking for answers, that they go to you on their own. I know so many people alienated their families and so on. Just, you know, you don't got to. Just be nice. Be the change you want to see in the world. Do the Gandhi thing. There's no reason to get everybody all upset. You know, they'll clearly know it. You know, smile and be nice. Be helpful. Clear the dishes. Dump the trash. You know, be a good neighbor. Mow your lawn. You know, don't be too much of a butthead. When we have events here, a lot of people come. We have, like, you know, different parties or debate watching stuff or pool party or whatever, work things or something. You know, that people come. Our neighbors, what do they see? The bumper stickers. They're going, wow. I think those guys are revolutionaries. So, you know, and it's not the violent kind of, oh, they kind of, you know, the racist immigrant kind of going to get some kind of, you know, war stuff. No, it's all the peace and love kind of things. Be the change. The technology is there. Do not be susceptible to the next big, giant, hurting, fearful, whatever the event is. That is my warning. JFK conspiracy. And all 15 gazillion wars before that. RFK. Martin Luther King. Watergate. Vietnam. You know, Iran hostage crisis. Savings and loan. Ruby Ridge. Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11. Every single one of these came with legislation, we rule you more. Quit putting yourself in a position that you're ruled. It always has to do with banking. I mean, you look at Obama's speech last night talking about how we're going to track and do and get. You think that doesn't include you or America? It's going to be know your customer on steroids. You think that, you know, PayPal, eBay using Bitcoin isn't going to have, and this one belonged to that guy, and this guy didn't kind of stroke dash. You know, here's the guys. Of course they are. Don't put yourself in a position that it matters. Find some land. You know, build something. Do a community or not. I don't care. I'm looking for private property. I'm looking for private land. I want to have a community kind of, you know, I got to depend. You know, fences make good neighbors, and it's mine. Because if it's on a community of a collective, daylight usually doesn't work. But it can. I mean, it's called families, and certainly libertarian philosophy allows you to be socialist all you want. You know, that would be freedom to be socialist with a family of from each according to each according. Yeah, you're free to knock yourself out. You just can't make me do it and be libertarian. You can't force me into it. You can't make me pay for it. You can't. If I like doing it, somebody to be there just because of their party, just because, you know, they make me look good because their endorsement means something because, you know, they got a nice tractor because just whatever. I mean, you get to evaluate what the value of a relationship is. You. That's the future. That's the solution. That's what we're going to be advocating. Do you have to move somewhere? I mean, some people are advocating that you put your body, your business, and your money all in different places. You know, so you're not worth taking out or get everything when they get you. It's a good strategy. Might be where we put different things. We might be time capsuling, hiding, kind of, you know, whatever. You know, here's all the guns you know about. Here's all the silver you know about. You know, but what's my lock? Just had my sixth grandchild. Three boys, three girls, grandchildren. That was our goal from the beginning. Kids are conduits to grandkids. So we raised as good people as we could for parents, so we didn't have to be parents. We could be grandparents. So we knew that our children were going to be good parents, that they enjoy their life, and then we get to help. Raise the grandchildren. Generation next. It's not my wife and I they have to worry about. It's our kids and our grandkids. When my granddaughter, now five, because we have two infants also, but my granddaughter, 10 years, she's 15. 10 years goes by in a heartbeat. Boom, done. 10 years. 15, she's going to be an autonomous, self-aware, take care of business, knows what's what individual. Then what? What decisions is she going to make? What false flag are they going to come up then? What scare tactic are you going to have? They're going to have aliens with flying saucers? You know, they get, I remember in the late, how was it, 98 or so, there was big UFO sightings here in Phoenix. You know, it's called the Phoenix Lights. The documentary, it was a lot of people saw. We had the restaurant. I'm head down plow, man. I heard about it, people talk about it. I had no idea it was that big a thing until I started doing radio later and stuff was coming out. And they made documentaries. And I'm like, wow, this is a Charles Goyette had big maps that he did on his show and charting different things. You know, it's like, I'm going, wow. This is a big deal. And I had a lot of people at the time that were contacting me, and they said, Ernie, is this true? We had, oh, UFO, we know Ernie's email, he's there, what's up? And I had this to say, and it's kind of, you know, tells you a little bit about my thought process. I go, look, I don't really care. I mean, either they're Klingons or they're Vulcans. They're either going to say, hey, we come in peace and live free and prosper and whatever, and we want to trade and voluntarily, whatever, and then you can be in the friend category. Or you're the Klingons, like everybody other Klingon from Washington or the Klingon. You know, if we rule you, and you get in that line. What's the freaking difference? We're under occupation here right now. I don't got to be worried about some kind of, you know, Mars attacks kind of thing. We come in pieces, they zap you. You know, I am like, it's happening now. What's the solution? Be self-sustaining, or at least a little bit. I mean, take a step. You know, get the equipment that you need. One little bitty solar panel to run the lights in your bathroom. Just start. Plant a freaking tomato plant. You'd be amazed at how fast stuff can grow. You can get these aquaponic sets that are inside desktop herb garden on your windowsill kind of stuff. Start something. Just start. Freeing yourself. Free your ass. Your mind will follow. And Freedom's Phoenix wants to help. That's what we're doing. All our magazines, we're going to open up the site. You know, to not just subscribers, to all the access. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Been cleaning up code. We've got, it's all original code. We started in 05. There was no WordPress widget of whatever the hell. Everything that we've done has been original. We're cleaning it all up. We're getting ready to open up. We've been doing this since 05. The Levolution was just one of the things that we've done because we understand the power of love. And I love you. I want you to know that there's a lot that and there's a lot of things that, you know, kind of depict, you know, what's going on. There's a lot of love going on. There's a lot of understanding that people have of how we are, how we just get along. I want to leave you with one. When I first saw The Matrix, I was like, wow, did I just see what I think I saw? That was the only movie. There was two movies that I went and saw again the next day. One was Princess Bride, and one was The Matrix, because I went to it with my nephews. So I'm just like, this is awesome. So I just want to leave you with this. We understand what's coming. Let us help, because we're sincere about this.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.